And now, Vax's View from the Couch, brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware, Outdoor Power Headquarters, Steel, Ego, and Craftsman, Rocky's Outdoor Power Trifecta.
Hey, good morning, sports fans. How the heck are you? As most of you know, when it comes to college athletics, there are certain things that you are not allowed to do. For example, you're not allowed to have someone take your midterms for you. You're not allowed to have contact with legal sports agents. And oh yeah, you're not supposed to be accepting cash payments from team boosters, no matter who they might be. So you would think that a former student-athlete might have some level of recall of some of those rules when they were playing in college. Unfortunately, attending college is not proportionally equal to the amount of intelligence that you're operating with. For example, this week, Louisiana State University announced that they have chosen to penalize themselves after improper payments were given to four LSU players on the field following their win over Clemson in the national title game on January 13th. According to the reports, four players were handed payments of $2,000 apiece by former LSU receiver Odell Beckham Jr., now of the Cleveland Browns. This constitutes a brazen violation of NCAA rules. To make matters worse, the NCAA has been investigating the LSU basketball program for the last 3 years into allegations that head coach Will Wade either arranged or offered illegal payments to at least 11 potential recruits. And as a result, LSU has now imposed a bunch of penalties upon themselves in an act of good faith. These penalties include a loss of 8 scholarships over the next 2 years, a reduction in recruiting visits, limited communication with recruits, and a ban from allowing Odell Beckham Jr. anywhere on the LSU campus for the next 2 years. Folks, Odell Beckham has been out of college for only 6 years, and while there is very little that I remember from my college days, academically speaking, you would think that perhaps Odell might have retained at least some rudimentary understanding of at least a few of those NCAA rules from college, and yet there he was on the field handing out cash, which suggests to me that perhaps he learned absolutely nothing in college. And as a result, there will be 8 other potential LSU students who won't learn anything either, since those scholarships are no longer available. But hey, enough of my yapping. Sports brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware. Hey, you make a living with power tools? Make Rocky's Ace Hardware your power tool headquarters. Milwaukee, DeWalt, Craftsman, all available right now at your neighborhood Rocky's Ace Hardware. I'm Bax. That's my view from the couch. I'm with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
Not a bad day today. We burn off this morning fog, and then there'll be some clouds to deal with. But then after that, we're talking about sunshine and a high of 74. It is already 62 in downtown Springfield.
Jeff Plate from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra is going to be joining us around 8:50 this morning. This is like the first year in a long, long time that the TSO has not been physically touring. So they're looking at alternatives, and we're going to talk to Jeff about what they've come up with and what their plans are for this year and next.
Yeah, you know, if they can't tour live, which is a great show to see, this is probably the next best thing. He'll explain what it is, and actually it sounds kind of cool. So, you know, I've said it before. We've talked about it in the past. I appear to be the only one who's never been to Plymouth Rock, nor do I have any desire to go.
Oh, no, you got to go. You got to go and learn all about the pilgrims and, and you know, how they survived such harsh winters to...
Not going
to
do it.
And created a Thanksgiving celebration. I mean, really.
Not going to happen. And my guess is it's not going to be allowed to happen next month, just as this month, and this is something that I've never done before, and I actually had 2 times this fall where I've already thought about doing it, and then both times decided against it. It's a good thing I did, because the people in Salem don't want anybody coming to Salem. According to an article in Mass Live today, fines are being tripled, trains are being canceled in what is typically a Gillette Stadium worth of people in downtown Salem on the weekends of October is not happening this year.
Yeah, the mayor said last week that this is the worst time ever to come to Salem. And yeah, obviously, growing up South Shore, Salem would be one of those places you would go on like a field trip in grade school. Mm-hmm. So like every year, every 2 or 3 years, we would go to Salem. It's a beautiful little town, and you go to the museum and you see all the wax figures, going through the witch trials and all that stuff. I guess it's kind of historically interesting, but you don't want to be anywhere near all those people they normally do.
This is what I, again, twice so far this fall, I was thinking about doing it. They say that fines that are typically enforced during Halloween in the city are now going to triple for these last two weekends of October. Their fines are for things like public drinking, vandalism, littering. All the city and private garages will be closing to entering traffic at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And at noon on Saturday and Sunday for the rest of the month. Hmm. Back in August, they announced that they were canceling all of their events. No music stages, no street performers, no beer gardens, no DJs, no fireworks, and we hope no crowds.
So let me understand this for just a second here. So you've never been to Plymouth Rock.
Nope.
You've never been to Salem.
Nope.
Which are two of maybe the most historically significant tourist traps in our state.
And also, much like the famed singer Charlene, I have also never been to me.
Well, now that I believe, too, because that would require a certain level of self-introspection.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, I mean, how do you go through 60 years of living in New England?
Huh?
And most of those years in Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm.
And never go there.
Well, my years lived in Massachusetts didn't begin until I was an adult. So, by 18, 19, 20, that's when I had moved to Massachusetts.
All right.
That's when I was in charge of my own recreational travel, and there was nothing about... I have been to Sturbridge.
Right.
I've been there often enough to know that I never want to go again.
I understand that, but I could have told you that after going there once.
And as an adult in charge of their own travel plans and their own recreational things, I've just never been moved enough to want to go to Salem or to Plymouth.
But, based on what you're telling me, you've had 40 years of opportunity, and I find it hard to believe that nobody in your life, whether it be an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend, said, hey, why don't we go to Plymouth this year? Or Salem, or why don't we walk the Freedom Trail in Boston? Mm-mm. Like no one's ever suggested that to you.
No female companions until this fall have ever suggested this, and my guess is, neither of these two things is right around the corner. So more than likely, they were thinking along the lines of, geez, I'm going to be stuck in a car with him for at least 2 hours trip.
Listen, I understand. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me. But nothing in Massachusetts is so far away that it's not accessible. Even the city of Boston's not that far away. It'd take you an hour and a half, 2 hours, maybe.
But if you don't go by train, you're stuck in a car with me. And my guess is... perhaps these women thought to themselves, you know what? I'd rather be burned at the stake than to have to sit in a car with him for 2 hours.
They were somehow locked up in a relationship of some sort with you, so...
Mm-hmm. Yes, but not not such a confined one.
Well, I mean, confined enough that they found the escape routes.
To discourage visitors from just parking in neighborhoods, cars without parking permits will be ticketed and towed. Visitors also will not be able to go into Salem by train after commuter hours. So if you want to get there, you got to make sure you get there during commuter hours. Although the MBTA outbound trains from Boston will not stop at the Salem station on the weekends from 7 p.m. to 11:30 p.m.
Okay.
The mayor says, I want to explain how different this is. Normally, we are imploring the MBTA for more trains in October. This is a complete opposite approach for us to try to limit the visitors that are coming in. All the businesses, my understanding is there's a downtown district where there's a lot of businesses. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
They will all be closed by 8 p.m., and at that point, the city, presumably the police, will start moving people out of the downtown Salem area at 8 p.m., which is, of course, rather early, particularly on the weekends. They're also using paid advertisements to discourage visitors from coming this year. Instead, they want you to wait until November or next October.
Right. See, but this is the thing. The fun of going there is going there in October because of the whole witch trial thing.
Sure.
And, I mean, you can understand that. And even though this is not the year to do it, nobody in their right minds wants to go there in November. That would be like exchanging gifts for Christmas in April. Like nobody wants to do that.
And people in November would rather go to Plymouth Rock. And again, I'm assuming in a few weeks from now, it probably starting immediately after Halloween, they will begin to start talking about how they don't want people coming to Plymouth in November to try to celebrate around Thanksgiving. I mean, hell, Charlie Baker's already saying this morning, where did I have that headline? Charlie Baker is already saying to people, look it, maybe you don't go and visit your relatives on Thanksgiving. Maybe you don't go and have these little gatherings, even of family members, again, who don't live together.
Right.
That might not be a good idea. Well, don't do any traveling.
Those are all things to consider, but you don't need an order from the governor to not go to Salem or Plymouth at least once in your life.
No.
I mean, you've been finding excuses for that for the last 60 years.
Yeah, and I haven't needed an order from anybody to not go there. I just haven't had an invitation or an idea.
What about Cape Cod? Have you been to Cape Cod?
I went to Cape Cod when I was a kid.
Did you? But not as an adult. You didn't go like Provincetown or Hyannis or anything like that?
I don't remember. I may have gone once when I was married. But I'm not sure.
You ever tour the Lizzie Borden house? That's a good one. That's a creepy place. Never went there.
Never been up there.
What about the Berkshires? You ever been up to the Berkshires? Stayed at like the Red Lion or something like that?
Berkshires last week. Took a ride on the Mohawk Trail.
Driving through and stopping somewhere to spend some time. That's a little bit different.
Well, we stopped at the restaurant on the hairpin turn and we had some soup. Soup's a meal.
Sure. Well, soup's not a meal.
It can be a meal.
No, what I'm thinking is you might be missing out on a lot of wonderful things in Massachusetts. Like a lot of them. Faneuil Hall. Ever been to Faneuil Hall?
Nathaniel Hall?
No, Faneuil.
I've never been. I think I walked by it once.
But you never
walked by
in.
It and somebody said to me, hey, you know, we just walked by Nathaniel Hall. And I went, oh, I didn't even realize that's what that was.
Yeah, it's Faneuil Hall, not Nathaniel Hall. And the real fun of it is to go inside of it.
Why? What's in there?
Like a million places to eat, like it's like the biggest food court you've ever seen, and everything in there is fantastic.
Well, who was Nathaniel?
Anyway. There was no Nathaniel associated with that building that I'm aware of. It's Faneuil.
So it's really just a food court
at this point, but initially it was like where you know the city planners and the city mucky mucks would gather. And now it's where you would go, say, for lunch. Like,
Boston Market, legal seafood.
No. You wouldn't have Boston Market. There's nothing Bostonian about Boston Market.
Hey, listen, it says it right in the name.
Yeah, well, there used to be a place called Boston Store that was based out of Ohio, so go figure that.
Nevertheless, no, I don't. I'm not a big fan of history. And then there's not a lot in New England or Massachusetts that screams history.
It's nothing but history. Yeah. It's all history.
Also, never been on a whale watch.
Oh my God, it's so much fun to go on a whale watch.
Never, not once.
Never.
Mm-mm.
Has it ever been suggested that perhaps you go?
I don't remember. I'm not saying no. But I will say that it was not such a great idea that I memorize it.
I got to tell you, I've been on a whale watch, and it was fantastic.
Did you see a whale?
We saw tons of whales.
Tons
Yeah. Even the captain of the ship was saying, well, this is an unusually busy day for these whales.
Well, first of all, one whale can be tons of whales.
No, there was probably a good 20 whales.
20 whales.
Yeah, it was a remarkable whale.
Sounds very fake or very Muppet-like.
No, not when you're seeing them. When you see them all together, you say, wow, am I crazy or is that a lot of whales? And the answer to that question is, yes, that is, in fact, a lot of whales.
But I'm guessing you're still kept at a reasonably safe distance.
You're in a boat.
Yeah, from a reasonably safe distance.
Actually, these whales would literally go right up to the side of the boat.
No.
Yes.
Not right up to the side of the boat. Right. Well, then that must be where the tracking allowed them.
I there's no track under the water, John.
I think they all run on tracks.
No, they do not. It's impossible to do.
Animatronics.
No.
Please, don't be such a fool.
Trust me, when one of these whales blows out of their blowhole, that can only be a real live living thing.
Yeah, right.
It's
because
the smelliest thing imaginable.
You can't simulate a blowhole.
You know, your poo-pooing of all these wonderful New England institutions is upsetting and dismissive. And
I'm not a sucker. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I think you're the biggest sucker. Spent a whole lifetime in New England, didn't enjoy a damn bit of it.
Because I know when I'm being duped.
It's 7:23 on Rock 102.
No time for complaining and second-guessing. The Patriots have moved.
A Today Show or any Bax and O'Brien show. Go to BaxandO'Brien.com and download the daily podcast. You can also do it through Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, and also download Baxy's musical podcast. We've got a pretty exciting guest coming up on Monday. And, of course, another episode of Baxy's enormous record collection up this week. And you can check it all out on BaxandO'Brien.com.
So the last item on this list of weird but practical gifts is actually a gag game. It is called Flushin' Frenzy, a tabletop game that's exactly what you think, designed to be family-friendly, even though it's totally freaking gross. It's awesome anytime you want to mix things up a little bit during your next game night and get a few laughs. No description here exactly of how the game is played, but all of the parts are laid out for you to see what is included. The biggest part being a toilet seat that has a flusher on it, as well as a single die, a toilet plunger.
This is called Flush and Frenzy?
Frenzy.
Flesh.
And also in that there is a toilet, it would be flush. And there is a piece of poo.
That's why I asked you it was flush.
I know. I'm trying to describe the game now. There is a piece of poo that is probably, I don't know. It's not real size here. So I'll say maybe 3 inches.
Yep.
The poo has a smiley face and eyes on it.
It's Mr. Hankey.
It would appear to be either a Mr. Hankey ripoff or a close relative.
Uh-huh.
And again, no idea how the game is played, but you know, when you can introduce a piece of poo into a family fun game, you know there's nothing but good times ahead.
All right, can I just stop you here real quick? Because I'm on the Amazon page for the Flushin' Frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
As you scroll down, it says, and I quote, "Warning, choking hazard, small parts, not for children under 3 years old." Now, I'm looking at the game, and I have to wonder, well, which part is the choking hazard? Is it the chips, the die, or Mr. Hankey?
Well, considering very, very young children, I suppose, could misrepresent Mr. Hankey the poo as chocolate and therefore try to consume it. Or even the die.
Yes.
I mean, the die, for that matter, could very easily be a choking hazard.
The way the game is played, you have to plunge the toilet to the number of times on the die, okay? And I believe it's like a six, you know, like a typical fashion, a six-sided die. The more you plunge, the more pressure is built underneath Mr. Hankey. And when the poop flies out of the toilet, the first player to grab it in midair wins that round, and you win two tokens.
You grab it by hand?
Yes, that's correct.
So wait a minute, I'm sorry. So the poo goes where as the game begins?
It goes on the top of the tank. There is a hole in the top of the tank.
Top of the tank.
And the poo goes into the hole.
Okay.
And I assume it's kind of like a spring-loaded.
All right.
Then you plunge.
There's a lid there that you plunge, or is it just the plunge going right on the top of that thing?
The plunger is actually on the seat of the toilet.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And as you plunge, more pressure builds up, and the one who rolls the dice the right amount, after the pressure builds up to a certain point, the poop shoots out of the ground, everybody around it grabs for it, the one who catches it gets the tokens, the one who has the most tokens at the end of the game wins the game.
Well,
that's how you play. I can see this.
Does sound like family fun.
It does, but I can also see how this breaks down into a family fight.
Well,
everybody's scrambling to grab the thing that has just shot out of a toilet.
Every good game out there should have the potential to break down into a family fight. Otherwise, it's not worth its cost.
Which in this case would be only $13.99.
Tell me that's not a bargain.
It's 7:31. We have news next to Rock 102.
Did you know that Belize Ready Credit used cars in Springfield?
7:34 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. It's time for news brought to you by Big Y. It's more than food. It's my Big Y. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, primer respondedor.
Si, senor.
A man from Turner's Falls has been charged in connection with a crash in Greenfield that killed a 41-year-old man from Acton, according to Mary Carey from the Northwestern DA's office. 62-year-old George Cortina will be arraigned in Greenfield District Court on October 26 on motor vehicle homicide while operating under the influence of drugs and additional charges in connection with the October 4th crash that claimed the life of 41-year-old Jonathan Roars of Acton. The two-car crash happened on Route 2 when a Ford Explorer was attempting to pass a car by crossing over the center line and drove into the westbound lane opposite of traffic, hitting a Toyota Yaris. The driver of the Yaris, Jonathan Roars, and the dog in the vehicle died. Cortina, a driver of the Ford Explorer, and a passenger were taken to the hospital with serious injuries. It always kind of amazes me that somebody who's 62 would still be doing that kind of thing or have died from doing it previously.
Doing what kind of thing?
Drug driving.
Oh, drug driving. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. It just seems...
A lot of times, though, I mean, these are not necessarily people. They don't always have to be people smoking pot, doing heroin, fentanyl, things like that. They could very well be prescription drugs.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what reaction this person's having, say, like on Lipitor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just trying to worry about his cholesterol. Next thing you know, he can't drive a car.
Is there a huge danger with Lipitor and vodka?
Well, but we don't know that there's any alcohol involved here. You're saying drugged driving.
Yeah. You're right.
It could very well be prescription drugs.
Well, I was going to take my...
Steve, 62-year-olds don't talk that way.
Oh, yeah, they do.
You wait.
Yeah. No, they talk like this and everything sucks.
This one will be.
Life sucks.
You've already got a pretty good running start.
Let's talk about more negative things. Bye-bye.
A year and a half away.
You're almost there, buddy. You're almost there. A bicycle rider was seriously injured in a collision with a semi-trailer truck Wednesday afternoon. The adult male who was riding the bicycle was taken to Bay State by ambulance for treatment, according to Ryan Walsh. The crash occurred about 4:50 p.m. near the intersection of Bay Street and Roosevelt Avenue. The collision is being investigated by the police department's traffic unit.
You said last hour you didn't think that was an intersection where you'd have a lot of bicycles. Trust me, that's an intersection where kids are riding their bicycles.
Yeah, that's not really what I said. What I said was I don't expect it to be the kind of thing that you see downtown where there's groups of kids who really have nowhere to go and they're just riding back and forth doing wheelies. I would imagine the kids in a school area are either going to or from school, and that there are, yes, a lot of bikes, particularly in those school commuting hours. But, you know, the kids downtown are just doing it to hang out. They don't have anywhere else to go. There's no destination.
And after school, Bay and Berkshire is one of those locations. I mean, it's not just all... Downtown's got its problems, no doubt about it. I was downtown last night, certainly saw my share of it. But it's other areas of the city where this is going on in very high traffic locations. That happens to be one intersection. I've seen it on Page Boulevard, Boston Road, Wilbraham Road. I've seen it all over the place.
Yeah. Hopefully, by simply describing this individual as an adult male, he may very well be over the age of a high school student, but because we're getting so few details, we don't know.
Attorney General Maura Healey is suing a national addiction treatment center chain for submitting millions of dollars in false claims to the state's Medicaid program, known as MassHealth, for urine drug tests that were medically unnecessary and violated federal and state self-referral laws because they were performed at the company's own laboratory. The AG's office filed the complaint in U.S. District Court under the Massachusetts False Claims Act against Total Wellness Centers, LLC, Clean Slate Centers, Inc., Clean Slate Centers, LLC, and former company owner Dr. Amanda Louise Wilson. This company's business model was to illegally profit by cheating our state Medicaid program, which provides vital health care resources to some of our most vulnerable residents, said Healy. We will take legal action against this kind of misconduct in order to recover funds for our state and protect the integrity of MassHealth. Clean Slate was based in Northampton before it relocated its headquarters to Tennessee. The company owns and operates many office-based opioid treatment centers in Massachusetts and around the country where individuals receive medication-assisted treatment for substance abuse disorders.
I just saw this commercial like 20 minutes ago on Good Morning America, on the Today Show, rather. And it appeared to be a group of adults all sitting around on a couch with a drink in their hand. And then a young boy, probably 6 or 8 years old. You only saw the young boy from behind because he was facing the adults who were all sitting on this couch. And progressively, as the commercial went on, the clearness of the camera shot showing the adults was getting fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier as the adults appeared to be trying to entertain this young child who, for some reason, was allowed to be in attendance at this adult drinking party. And, you know, it was proving that, you know, some people don't have the filter to either put their children to bed and not let them be a part of observing adults behaving this way. And I believe it was, in fact, for a treatment center or a treatment program of some kind. But, I mean, I can remember as a kid, you might be told to go to bed because your parents were going to be hosting a gathering. And then at some point, you either were woken up or couldn't fall asleep because of the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd venture down to a position where you could witness some of this stuff, and you may or may not have been spotted by an attendee, not necessarily your own parents, but an attendee who then, realized they had an audience and they would put on a show for you.
All right, but look at the time frame you're talking about. You know, when we were kids, you know, alcohol wasn't really viewed in the same way as it is now. Treatment wasn't viewed as the same way it is now. Do you remember a whole lot of people going into recovery back then? Someone had a drinking problem. It was like almost, I don't want to say encouraged, because I mean, obviously there are plenty of people who are problem drinkers back then, but it's a much different world today surrounding, you know, these kinds of dangerous, you know, habits or whatever they are than ever before. So yeah, I mean, I remember.
It's a lot less fun than it used to be.
I mean, I agree.
A lot more fun when there wasn't so much responsibility attached.
When you look at episodes of like Mad Men, and you know, dudes are, you know, like a full wet bar in their office.
Mm-hmm.
You would never see that today.
But you know, even in Mad Men, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I don't remember, but I did watch the series. So did that drinking continue at home in front of the children? Because they almost all had these commutes, you know, they all basically lived on Long Island, and they would have this long commute home, and it would seemingly be like they'd sober up on the way.
It's not so much on about the show as it is about the culture of the time surrounding alcohol. Alcohol at work was not necessarily seen as a bad thing. Today it would be. And a lot of those people, you know, back in the 50s or 60s, even early 70s for that matter, that drinking would continue at home. And you had all kinds of, you know, alcoholism that was never discussed and always a family secret. A lot of enabling as a result of it.
Or it would continue between work and home with, say, a 2, 3, maybe 4 hour stay at the Elks Lodge.
Plenty of that.
Before arriving home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you and I experienced almost the same exact behaviors from the person who was supposed to be the influential. Not under the influential person, the influential person in your home.
I mean, can you imagine a situation where, okay, the three of us finish the show, and one of us says, man, that was a terrific broadcast. How about some shots all around?
Well, see, I find that a little bit different to imagine because of our hours.
Yeah, but I mean,
I can't see us going out at 11 a.m. I shouldn't say that because when I was much younger working for the police department, working the third shift, yes, we would go out and do that at 8 a.m.
Of course.
Because that was the end of our day. So,
and that was the,
I could see that.
And that's when the bars would open.
So tell me then, why after 25 years together have we not done that?
Because a certain one of us doesn't like day drinking.
Well, actually, go ahead, John.
I don't know that I felt that way 25 years. I might have felt that way 25 years ago. I don't remember.
But. Listen, some of my best drinking has always been done before lunch.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're the one that usually does the drinking because...
Who?
Bax. Because of the... Like, we did that... Remember we did the thing over at the Still years ago with the St. Patrick's Day thing?
Yep.
And then I'm like, yeah, I got to go pick up my kids. And you're like, I'm going to have a beer.
And I wound up having like nine of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't have kids or any responsibilities, but I just didn't. I wasn't drinking.
I'm telling you, day drinking sucks, man, because you start to sober up like by mid-afternoon.
Now that's your fault for trying to sober up.
You got to stop at some point.
Yeah, it's called bedtime.
That's what I mean, though. There's too much time between bedtime and the start of the drinking.
Well, to my, in all fairness, that day, a friend of mine was at the bar, and we hung out and had lunch and chit chatted and got a little drunk along the way. It can happen.
There was, I think, one time.
I'm basing it on peer pressure.
And the one time in the last 15 years that I've worked here, that I actually drank here before going home.
In the building?
Yeah, because we had, this was going back probably 10, 12 years ago, where we had, I believe it was Opa Opa came in here.
Oh,
with
that's
some,
right.
Some samples.
Yes.
And also, McDonald's dropped off these giant-ass breakfast burritos that they were selling at the time. So it was like, oh, this is like me at 2 a.m. I'm like getting buzzed off this 14% beer that they brought in.
Right.
And then, after all you needed, it was like one pint of that because I hadn't eaten anything all morning. And then I had a pint of this beer, and then I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry. And luckily, McDonald's was here to save the day with the breakfast burrito. I had to call my roommate to come pick me up.
That
was a long time ago.
That was actually longer than 12 years ago. That was
probably like more like 15, 16
probably
years.
When I first started here, because I lived only like 2 miles from here, but I still couldn't get in my car and drive home.
Those were the days.
They were the days. I missed those days.
I mean, I remember once upon a time, this was long before I started working for this company, the boss would come in with a case of beer, like at night. Yeah. And, I supposed to do? Say no?
He just kicked back a few beers.
I was just a young pup trying to get ahead in this business.
Now, when I worked at the Choo Choo Yard, when I worked overnights from midnight to 8,
right.
Then I would stop in. Like, that's different because even though it's 8 o'clock in the morning, I still have been working and have been up all night.
Yeah, so that's what like I said when I was with the police department.
Yeah, like a
third
5
shift
p.m.
work, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better than a sausage, egg, and cheese and a shot of Yukon Jack and a PBR to get your day day sleeping going.
You know, he's not wrong about that.
Have all that stuff in you before the banks even open.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No. But what we're saying is, you could never get away with that today. Yeah, just the, you know, company policies, social norms have changed. Our feeling towards recovery and addiction issues. Totally different world now.
A new prison mugshot shows Bill Cosby smiling with a disposable mask hanging off of his face. Such mugshot updates are routinely done in Pennsylvania prisons to document changes to inmates' appearance as they age. The 83-year-old comedian's photo was taken on September 4th. A later tweet from Cosby's verified account showed a picture of him on the telephone and sought to assure viewers that he was doing okay during the pandemic. He was convicted of sexual assault and is serving a 3-to-10-year term. An appeal on two key issues in his case will be soon heard by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. But he looks like a raggedy old man.
Well, he is a raggedy old man.
Yeah, but it's you can see it,
Well, which is why it's the irony that he's wearing a mask. It's like, for all the things that you've been through, the age that you are, for where you will likely be spending the rest of your life, why bother with the mask?
Well, he's got a compromised immune system.
So do I. Yeah. But I'm not 80 something years old.
Truth is, he was looking a little raggedy even before prison.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of on his way.
A 72-year-old in Baton Rouge named James Cousins recently parked in a lot next to a campus of LSU, and someone called the police when they saw him watching female students walk by while pleasuring himself in his truck.
Is that wrong?
I was going to ask the same thing.
You owe me a drink there, buddy.
Police ran his plates and saw he had been arrested for similar incidents dating back to 1981. Really? I've been doing this since the 80s.
And the one
Who
day,
hasn't?
And then on that last day, all of a sudden I get caught.
Including several that happened in the very same parking lot. But when they accused him of fondling himself, he claimed it was just a huge misunderstanding. And that he was just listening to music and playing air drums.
Mm-hmm.
He also,
on his pelvis.
Yes. He admitted that he was there to watch women, saying it's the, quote, only thing he has left. Well, I guess if you're 72...
You know, you don't have to be 72, believe me, Steve. In the last several weeks, I've felt the same way. It's the only thing I have left is to sit in my car and hope nobody knows what's going on below the steering wheel.
You should just go with dudes, man. There's it's just so easy to get a dude.
Really? Tell us all about it.
You go on Grindr and you find one, you meet one in a Walmart bathroom, and bam.
Yeah, yeah.
You got your jelly?
First of all, I don't really want... Even if the ability to meet another guy was easy, it's the Walmart bathroom that scares me off.
Well, you could go to a Home Goods or somewhere else, too.
Yeah, someplace a little classier.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Walmart.
Any public restroom would be a bit nervous.
I just remember a few years ago seeing the sign inside the Macy's at the Holyoke Mall that said, "Inappropriate activities will get you banned from this store."
That's the worst thing that had happened?
Inappropriate activities in this bathroom, yeah.
No, I see.
It's not that it would get you arrested, it just gets you banned?
Yeah.
Oh boy, I hope I can recover from that.
Well, if it's a quiet bathroom, I think that's why people were meeting in there.
Well, remember that time you did, it was like maybe a month or so ago, some kind of online glory hole finder? Remember we talked about that?
That was years ago. I can't remember, but I can't remember the name of it.
It was weeks ago. And I don't remember the name of it either, but it was some kind of an online glory hole finder. And because the story was about how in the COVID days, glory holes are actually coming back.
Yeah, because they're safe.
I didn't realize they ever went out.
You're not breathing in somebody's face.
Not in their face, no.
COVID-19 isn't the worst thing you have to worry about catching from one of those.
I still don't really understand the mentality behind a guy that'll be in his car in a park and either his pants are down or open.
What's the hard part to understand?
Well, I mean, it's not something that I would do. I mean, I'm not necessarily
a
showboater.
Yeah, don't knock it until you try it.
Sure. It's like I suppose if I try it once, I might really like it. But I'm not the kind of guy that needs to show off.
Well, it's not showing off. Because the intent is not necessarily for anyone else to see.
Forget that drinking thing. What are you doing after the show today?
Yeah,
Banks?
Right. Yeah. but the intention though is to have a level of risk that someone could see you. Not that someone actually does, but that it could potentially happen. That's the exciting part of the whole thing.
That's what you graduate towards. That's what you progress towards. In the very beginning, it's really in the very beginning you're hoping to be able to do this without being spotted. You're not even concerned about the fear or the excitement of being spotted. Those first couple times when you're still a novice, you got a little bit of work.
I suppose you got to work your way up to it.
Sure.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today going to be mostly sunny with a high of 74. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 69. Giggity. It's 61 right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102. Aw, yeah.
If you left it out with a free sign taped to it, no one would take it. Yet you're sitting in it for hours.
Jackson O'Brien at Rock 102. Halloween is going to be a little different this year, as you know. A week from Saturday is Halloween. It doesn't mean you still can't have some fun and get tricked out in a killer costume. You go to rock102.com and submit a photo wearing your favorite Halloween costume before Friday the 30th at noon. We'll pick a winner at random. They'll get treated to a Pacifico Grizzly cooler and a $100 Visa cash card. Get your Halloween on and maybe win some sweet prizes courtesy of Pacifico. Live life, anchors up, and Rock 102, Springfield's classic rock.
That was an interesting commercial we just ran a minute ago. I think it was less about Indian Motorcycle than it was about the Springfield police. But the idea that the police are running commercials now to let people know that they are wearing body cameras and attempting to create a better environment and a better relationship with the public, I've never heard anything like that before. That was I don't know if that was Cheryl, the commissioner, Clapper's idea, or Ryan Walsh maybe finally had a good idea.
Well, that was specifically an Indian Motorcycle commercial, so it wasn't a police paid for commercial.
Yeah, it's just they paid for it, but with the idea that the police, it was just that was interesting. We're trying to get Charlie Baker back on. We haven't talked to him in a while. We also haven't talked to the commissioner in a while. I'd like to talk with her and ask her about that. It's an interesting way in this day and age that the police are being looked at so negatively all the time to try to turn it around a little bit and have the public realize that the police are in fact there to protect us, not to make things worse.
It's 7:57 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102.
GG Inks, screen printing and embroidery. They print the shirt on your back. Heck, they make the Rock 102 shirts that we wear and give out to you at events. Find them online at gginks.com.
gginks.com. Hi, I'm Mike.